This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of Nightlight on this Wednesday edition, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. On the text line, our question tonight is, what is the worst band name? And the 608, this is Nick from Marshall, says, I've never even heard of this, Oswald in Israel Vibration. That's a new one. Have you heard of them, Conrad?
Never.
Never. He could be making that up.
He definitely could.
But a guy with a name like Nick from Marshall, I'm going to trust him. He's got a good, solid name. Thank you, Nick. Keep those suggestions coming. Jody, you had a name, too, you thought was kind of bad.
Corn.
Corn, yeah. But it was spelled with a K.
With a K. Yeah. I don't know what that means either.
Yeah, again, I think not a lot of thought sometimes goes into these band names. So, but keep those suggestions coming, folks. 855-752-4842. You can let us know on the old-fashioned text line. Or you can text us on the stream or let us know over the app. Conrad did research. Toad the Wet Sprocket is not a sexual band name. It takes its name from a Monty Python comedy sketch called Rock Notes, in which a journalist delivers a nonsensical music news report. Sounds like Monty Python. Rex Stardust led Electric Triangle with Toad the Wet Sprocket has had to have an elbow removed following their recent successful worldwide tour of Finland. Was that taken verbatim?
Yeah.
Wow. That's, I don't know what to make of that.
You just know it's not sexual now.
It's not sexual, but it's not even, I can't even make sense of that. All right. Folks, Anders Lindwall will be, I can't, you know what the problem is? Here's my issue tonight. So I'm leaving the house. I'm trying to eat right, especially after Sherry was here last night. But I also don't like to let food go to waste. So I tend to clean out the fridge. I'll try to make soup or I'll do something, whatever. And there was a piece of pecan crusted chicken in the fridge. I thought for a couple days, I eat it. I put an avocado on top of it. My daughter gets home and I said, hey, I hope you weren't saving that chicken. It was in there a couple days and I didn't want it to go away. She goes, Dad, that's been in there for 3 weeks.
Oh. No.
So I don't know if I'm going to have to make a quick exit. You might have to do the Anders interview. So get some questions ready. I'm glad I'm making it through most of your interview. I feel fine, but I think it's affected my ability to talk tonight.
I think that's what happens.
Which is not that important in radio. Okay. Jody Hinman, author Jody Hinman is here. This is exciting to have you here. Congrats again on the book. We got a couple more minutes with Jody. You've done some acting, too. You were in the film we talked about called Aquarians. Yes. And then you were in an episodic shot in the UP called Northbound.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool. I had those guys on. Thank you for the contact. They were great guests. What else is going on in the UP? It's kind of a lot of creative people come from the UP. Is there any other production going on up there? Are you friends with other authors? Do you have like a network of creative people?
Well, I'm not friends with other authors, although there are other authors.
Yeah.
But there's Mr. Black Presents, a group of theater people in our area.
Okay.
Maybe they put on dinner shows and
nice.
It's all theatrical. And they perform at the local theater as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've done some acting, and now you have a book out there. What do you prefer? What's your favorite way to be creative so far?
Oh, wow. I have fun with it all. I just, I love the writing. That's been a really awesome experience for me. And to see that come to fruition has been wonderful. But the acting, you know what's fun about the acting is, you know, being on set. With the indie projects, I spend a lot of time on set and just watching
yeah.
the process, how all the pieces and parts come together. It's just
it's fascinating.
Super fascinating to me. I love watching all that.
I agree. And I think to me, it's the energy on a set like that, whether it's an indie film or a bigger film. It's just a great thing to experience. Mm-hmm. You all right. So maybe you'll get your book optioned into a movie and you can write the screenplay. That'd be kind of cool.
I would love that because we definitely have the setting for it.
Yeah, you do.
We do.
All right. Before we let you go, Jody, and thank you again for your time. What are you watching on TV?
We recently binge watched American Primeval.
What's that?
I don't
know
that show. It's a Western. It's, I think, maybe six or eight episodes.
A newer show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's just been released. Wow.
It's a Western.
Talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the West. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Very good. You're awesome. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for driving all the way.
You bet.
It's not actually that far, is it?
No, like, not really.
It's a trip to the city.
That's right.
Green Bay's a city. It's a big city for people like us.
Sure. Sure. Well, thanks for having me. This has been great.
You're
I
welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Good luck with the book. Check it out, folks, on Amazon. It's called The Hole They Dug for You, and it's by Jody Hinman. And check it out and become a that's what I want to do. I need to read more.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Yeah. You approve?
I approve.
Okay. Jody Hinman, ladies and gentlemen, drive safely. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
And good luck with the book. Okay. We, Anders Lindwall will be here in just a few minutes. And before we bring Anders onto the show to talk about his movie Green and Gold, we're going to give you a sneak peek at the trailer.
For my grandpa Buck, farming wasn't a job or even a way of life. It was a sacred act.
Easy, easy, easy.
For him, it wasn't the frozen tundra. It was the Garden of Eden.
Does your granddad know where you're headed?
He knows I'll be home later.
I couldn't do farming anymore. I was on my way out for some bigger dreams.
This ain't your land.
Well, when you don't pay your loan, it becomes my land.
What was that about?
Where the hell you been?
Talk to Goaty. Apparently she's got some musician staying up at her cabin up on the big lake.
I'm Jenny.
Jenny, local musician. Goaty said you might be stopping by.
How much do we owe the bank?
You think I like tearing down the little guy, Buck? You think I like it?
Well, your license plate says A-hole.
I will make a little wager with you. The pack go all the way, I will give you another year interest-free. And if they lose, you sign everything over to me.
Take it.
Oh, we ain't betting folks, Jenny.
I want to take your tape and share it with my manager.
Your granddaughter's, she's really talented.
Yeah, I know that. You do anything to hurt her, and I will hunt you down, and I'll gut you like a 10-pointer.
Great.
Ah! What do you think you're doing?
Come on!
I'm going to take the bet.
You better pray God owes the pack a favor.
You know that no one cares about her little slice of nothing in the middle of nowhere.
I do.
I want to hear you before you become rich and famous.
No guarantee of that. You go chasing your hopes and your dreams, you forget who you are. And there is nothing worth the cost of losing everything that's wild and free.
In real life, miracles don't always arrive on time.
And the pack beat the bears.
And the good guy doesn't always win.
You still believe in what we're doing?
More than anything.
Do you have the chills?
I do.
That sounds really cool.
It sounds
like a great film. I can't wait to see this. It opens January 31st. It's called Green and Gold. You might remember Craig T. Nelson sang the national anthem at the Packer game a couple weeks ago. And it was good. He did fine, right?
You know, everyone keeps saying this. For an 80-year-old, he did great.
In the freezing
cold. I didn't even know he was 80.
Right.
In the first place.
He sung like a 65-year-old. He's got the pipes of a 65-year-old.
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, no, I thought he did very well too. So we'll talk to Anders Lindwall in just a few minutes. He will be here at 7:20 to talk about Green and Gold. Do we know if it opens in Green Bay on the 31st?
It probably does.
I would assume it does, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another thing I saw when I was looking at the Tom Brady stuff today. Phrases like cool as hell. Tom Brady's cool as hell. Like, or colder than hell. People say all the time, like, these things that don't make any sense. It's colder than hell outside. Well, yeah. even if it was summer, I would think it would be colder than hell.
I say a lot of different things for it being cold. And I don't know where it comes from. It just goes out of my mouth sometimes.
You're just spewing crap, is what you're saying.
Exactly. If I'm with my friends, all this nonsense going out of there.
Right. Here's a recommendation I'll make. If you haven't seen this yet, folks, and if you like true crime, Night Stalker from 2021, The Hunt for a Serial Killer. This is the anniversary this week of when it dropped in 2021. It's about Richard Ramirez and how the LAPD and the LA County Sheriff's Department tracked him down. I don't know if you remember that. It was a killing spree in the 80s. He was sneaking in through unlocked bedroom windows or open bedroom windows. And what I thought was fascinating about it is the focus was on, it's kind of, there are graphic details at times because of the nature of the show, but it was told in a way where it was from the point of view of the police. And it was really fascinating how they caught him. There were a couple near misses where they almost had him, a matter of seconds, and they would have apprehended him before he could do more damage. But they eventually ultimately caught him. And one of the detectives was a guy who also was involved in catching the Hillside Strangler, another prolific serial killer in Southern California. So I don't know. Do you like true crime? Are you a true crime fan?
It has to be Vince Vaughn, you know.
Vince Bad Monkey? That's fictional, though.
I started reading the second book.
Oh, really?
It's so funny. If they do make a second season, that's going to be so funny.
I'm fascinated that you can read the book after having watched the show.
Well, I haven't read the original book yet. I'm on to the second one. So it's following Bad Monkey.
After the first and season.
This one's called Razor Girl.
Okay. Same people?
Yes. Well, kind of. It's Vince Vaughn's in it.
Because he had a falling out with the partner, who was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And is in a lot of stuff. I love that actor.
It's like totally different from what you think how it would continue on.
Okay. All right. I'll give it another. That's one of those shows I had to keep restarting because I either got distracted or fell asleep or whatever, but I did like it. I thought it was a good show. But definitely check out, if you like true crime, it's on Netflix, Night Stalker, 2021, The Hunt for a Serial Killer. I enjoyed it. I watched it with my daughter, and if you can get past a few graphic shots of crime scene photos, it is fascinating how they caught him, and I highly recommend it. All right, when we come back, filmmaker Anders Lindwall will be here. Another native son of the UP. This night is all about storytelling in the UP. I love a theme, Conrad. We need more themes on this show. Damn it, that's what's keeping us from worldwide fame. All right, Anders is coming up next. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, Steady Eddie just sent us another text. Oh, this one's Tom Brady related. That's great. All right, we'll get to those too. We'll get to all your texts. Let us know, what is your least favorite band name, folks? That's the question of the night here on Nightlight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the stream as well or on the app. Text us any way you can, but text us. It's always more fun when you guys participate. Okay, we're going to turn our attention to filmmaking now. You guys might remember a few weeks ago, Craig T. Nelson sang the national anthem at the Packer game. And I heard about that. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I realized it was all part of this promotional campaign for a great new movie that's coming out called Green and Gold, which has a serious Packer connection. And Craig T. Nelson is one of the actors in the film. So that got our wheels spinning here. And we tracked down the director. And he joins us now on Nightlight. Anders Lindwall is on the phone. How are you doing, Anders?
Hey, doing great. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Excited to chat to you guys.
Our pleasure. Great to have you as well. Where are you calling, or where are we calling you? Because I know you're a native of the UP, but I know you're all over the place. Where are you calling home these days?
Yeah, as filmmakers, you never really know exactly where to call your home. But no, my stuff is in Colorado. But we, my brother and I, we go to the UP all the time. So we're always flying in and out of Green Bay Airport and then driving up to, to the UP.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think in our email exchange the other day, I told you my home these days is Marinette, Wisconsin. So I'm like a suburb of the UP.
That's
I'm right, right across the river. And you said
a suburb of the UP. Yeah, I like that.
I'm in the burbs. And you said you spent time in Stevenson, which is like 30 minutes away. How much time did you grow up when you were a kid in the UP, or did you live there when you were a little older?
Yeah, no. So my, you know, my both my folks are from the UP, and so my mom actually grew up in Stevenson, Michigan, which is just down the road from you and Marinette there. But my dad was in Iron River, and so our childhood years were mostly in Iron River. But we, our grandfather was a dairy farmer in Stevenson, and so we had a family farm that was there, and we were going there all the time. It wasn't a functional dairy farm, but we still had the land, and it was still being used for agriculture.
That's so great.
So we were very familiar, and Marinette was always like that was like a big shopping center for us, you know. That was exciting.
I've lived in two of the biggest cities in America most of my adult life, and I crack up because Marinette is a great place to live right now, and it's very easy to live there, but I love when I hear people from the farm community say, well, we go there to do all our shopping. You know, it's like, well, we are the mecca of shopping and fine restaurants. So
exactly.
Well, let's get back to the UP, but right now let's talk about your film. And first and foremost, how did you think Craig T. Nelson did singing the national anthem?
I think he did great. I mean, he's 80 years old. I don't know if folks know that.
Yeah.
And I don't know many 80-year-old folks who are just out there in about whatever it was, 15 degrees, and able just to sing in front of 75,000 people on a spot. So he did so good, and it was fun. I could tell after, because I was down on the field with him there, and he's like, man, I'm coming down. That was an adrenaline rush, even for a guy like me. And so he had a great time with it and loved, you know, he obviously over the years of doing this film has grown quite an affection for Wisconsin and the Packers community. So this was a real special way to kind of put the cherry on top.
Outstanding. All right. So tell us about Green and Gold. We played the trailer before. Tell us about the story and tell us how you found this project, Anders.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always been a dream of mine to make movies, but there's no clear path to doing that. You know, it's not like you get an internship and then you work your way up, or you go to college and then you get the job. Like there's really no path to it. You just have to kind of be in the right place at the right time, find the right network, land in the pocket of grace that you know. And so for us, we had always had a passion for telling stories up north there about the UP and about our home. And so, you know, we do commercials as like our day job. That's how we make a living. And so it was actually one of our commercial clients. He owned a NASCAR team, and they ended up winning the cup that year. And he was stoked. And he's like, you know, what else are you guys doing? And we were like, well, you know, we've got this film called, at that time it was called God Loves the Green Bay Packers, but it was a story, you know, from growing up around dairy farmers in the farming community, we were familiar with the plight and the loss of small farms in America. And just that, just the real earnest hard work that farming is. And we also knew the loyalty of Packer fans, and we're surprised that there hadn't been like a major motion picture that really featured the Packers community. And so we told this to him, and he was like, you guys, this is a great idea. Let's do it. And so he was basically our first investor. And then, and we kind of started scaling up from there. And, you know, it started as this little small project that it was just me and my brother. And then it, you know, once we hit Craig T. Nelson, and then it all of a sudden it was like kaboom! This is a real movie here. So
was he your first choice? Like, was he one of the first people you went to, or did you wait until you had the funds before you approached him, or was he kind of the guy you wanted right away?
Yeah, you know, it's chicken or the egg when you're putting these projects together. It's like, right, how much money do you have? How much do you need? And so, but yeah, we, you know, our casting directors, we reached out to them. They took our project because they were slow and in between. And they were like, hey, these are young guys. Let's give them a shot. We'll help them out. And so when we told our casting directors we wanted Craig T. Nelson, they kind of laughed. And they were like, okay, guys, who else do you want? And we said, no, we really want him. We feel like he kind of spans the generational length that we want the character to be, you know, and because young kids know him as young Sheldon. And, you know, for me, I knew him as Coach.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, yeah, but Gen Zers will know him as Parenthood, you know, and so there, he's kind of, he really has spanned the years. And so it's fun to see a guy like him celebrated on so many different levels. But yeah, once he came on, you know, he didn't do it because we were paying him a lot of money or anything. I mean, we are a tiny indie budget movie. Yeah. And, but he read the script and he ended up calling us the next day, actually after, and our casting directors, they were like, you guys, we cannot believe this, but he wants to talk to you. So, yeah, so we had a great chat with him. And I think he, you know, at this age in his career, he, you know, he doesn't need to do anything for money. He doesn't need to do anything for his own ego. It's right. Just projects that he believes in, responds to, and then also to do it along people that he believes in. And so we had, that was, you know, our first call was basically him just trying to evaluate if what kind of, what sort of heart we had and why we wanted to do this. And then he jumped on board.
So. Yeah. What a thrill. That's so great. And that's probably when you know, hey, we're making a movie. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Anders Lindwall is my guest. He's the director of Green and Gold. We'll talk more with Anders after the news. We got a lot to discuss. He shot the film in Door County. I want to ask you about that, Anders. And, a lot of questions. Great to have you here, buddy. We'll be right back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
So, Bill from Green Bay says, hey, Pete and Conrad, that Night Stalker series is incredible. I don't care who you are. Once you watch that, you always make sure your doors and windows are locked. It didn't matter to that kook if you were male or female, black or white, young or old. No one was off limits. Quite the compelling series. Yeah, I agree, Bill. Thank you for the text. I watched it. My daughter went through this true crime phase, and she was only three. So I'm kidding. But I got into it. I got into true crime with her, and I really did enjoy it. The Night Stalker. It's horrifying, but a really well-done series. Okay. On the phone right now is the director of the film Green and Gold. It opens wide January 31st. And it was shot right here in Wisconsin, and we have director Anders Lindwall on Nightlight right now. Anders, it's so great to have you here. What can you tell us about filming in Door County and what that was like?
Yeah, you know, it was awesome. It was, you know, we knew we would get Midwest hospitality shooting films here, but we didn't know how much. And so, because we were looking, you know, you're kind of looking for a spot that is art friendly. You know, like where people understand what you're trying to do. And so, but also we needed to be close to Green Bay for a scene we wanted to do around Lambeau and then, you know, obviously be near an airport. And so, and Door County obviously just has this natural beauty to it that was really exciting to us as filmmakers. So, but it was great. You know, it was tough to find housing because everybody's up there in the fall. We didn't realize that, but a lot of hotels just really helped us out, like cleaning out closets basically for our crew to sleep in and that kind of thing. So,
wow.
But it was awesome. They shut down streets for us. Like the business owners of Sturgeon Bay, you know, agreed to let us close down a street to rip a tractor down the middle of, you know, Main Street. And, it was just, you know, it was just such warm hospitality the whole time. The farmers all opened their doors. They all, you know, initially, you know, farmers can be really skeptical of film crew.
Right.
But, you know, once they got a chance to meet us and know what we were trying to do, they were just awesome. And so, yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better spot to film. In fact, it was so important to us to film there. One of the cool kind of stories was a studio actually wanted to buy the film. They caught wind of it 2 weeks before we were about to film.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted to buy the film and say, hey, well, let's wait a year and let's shoot down in Alabama for tax purposes. And that's not like a knock on them at all. That's just like smart business from like a film perspective. But that, you know, it was like here we had all these farmers ready to go. We had like the community of Door County was rallying, and we were like, man, we politely had to call them and turn it down. And it ended up, it probably at this point it was the best offer that the film would have got. And but from an integrity standpoint, we wanted this to be, you know, it's for goodness sakes, it was a film at that point called God Love the Green Bay Packers. It's like we gotta shoot it up. So but we're proud of the decision we made, and we know that, you know, all that stuff works out in the end, and so but yeah, we'd love to shoot more movies in Door County and northern Wisconsin in general.
It's so funny because, you know, I know they're trying to get, there's a group of people trying to get incentives passed here in Wisconsin, and they are important, you know, to get your film made. But I kind of went down this road myself, and I realized at the end of the day, the, like you just said, hotels opened their doors, farmers helped you out, they shut down streets. All of that stuff combined might offset incentives. I mean, when you have a community totally willing to get on board, you almost can't put a price on that.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think that was honestly one of our thought processes. And we actually pushed back on the deal when they presented. We said, listen, I know you guys think that you're going to save money, but we actually think it's just, you have people who are, they understand the spirit of what you're trying to do up here. You know, Alabama, it's like, they don't know what, you know, it's just a different community of people than for what we're dealing with here. So, so I think there is something to it. I don't know enough. Like, this is our first crack at this. I know there's a lot of debate about the effectiveness of film incentives and whether or not they're good or not. But yeah, for us, it didn't matter. It was like the heart and soul of the project was there, and that's where we wanted to film it. So
that's great. If the Alabama people had gotten involved, it would have been called God Loves to Roll Tide or something. They would have changed it somehow.
Yeah. Like,
just think about it, guys. That's all we're saying, you know.
Totally.
How can you, where specifically, if I can ask this, did you shoot in Door County? We go there a lot. I love Door County. I live right across the bay. But were there specific locations there that you liked? Were you trying to stay closer to Sturgeon Bay, or did you go up kind of in the deeper areas of Door County?
Yeah, we blanketed it pretty well. Like, we were there, our families were there for probably 4 to 6 months. Mostly we were based in Sturgeon Bay. That was like the production headquarters, but we shot, there was a farm near Bailey's Harbor, a farm near Egg Harbor. We combined kind of three farms basically to make it into the appearance of one farm, just for, you know, camera tricks and different angles and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, we drove all over some of the aerials. I forget what that like windy road is that's up at the top of Door County, but there's a really awesome aerial we got of this old, you know, an 85 pickup that's ripping through that road. That was awesome. And so, yeah, but I feel like our whole crew wanted to buy, you know, a lot of them were from out of state, had come up, not a lot of them, probably 50% or so. And they loved it up there and wanted to buy property up there, and you're like, this is amazing, you know.
It's a very special place and very beautiful, totally. No question. Cinematic as well. We were talking about Craig T. Nelson, Anders, and once you got Craig T. Nelson, it seems like, and you put a really good cast together. Did I read this right? Emmett Walsh, was this his last film project? Yeah.
Yeah. This will be his last film project. He did film one more movie after ours, but that one already released. So this will be his final released film, which is really special.
Then you got Brandon Sklenar, who is one of the stars of 1923.
Yep.
Very popular actor right now. Was this a case, I like to tell the story, the Farrelly brothers, when they were making Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura came out, and all of a sudden they have like the biggest movie star in the world in their movie.
I didn't know that. It's exactly that.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
that's so great.
Yeah, we picked the right racehorse on that one. But it was, yeah, I mean, Brandon was noticeably, I mean, when they submitted his audition to us, he was so good.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this guy's really good. And, you know, he came up and was a total pro. I mean, he takes his craft very seriously. And so But yeah, when we were up there filming, you know, I just at lunch, I was just chatting. I was like, what are you doing next? He's like, well, I got, you know, a callback for the 1923. I was like, wow, that's very cool, nice. Man. And while we were still filming, he like texted me and was like, dude, I got it.
Wow.
And then, you know, he went right from that to the film It Ends With Us.
Oh, yeah.
Which came out. He's the good guy in that, just to clarify. But yeah, he, which, you know, that was a huge movie this summer. And so, yeah, he's just rocking and rolling. Actually, he's currently on another film out east. I was trying to get him at Lambeau when Craig was there, but he was just in the process of filming and you just can't pull him away from that. So,
sure.
But yeah, he's a great guy. He's been such a support of the film. And I always joke with him. I'm like, dude, I believed in you when nobody else did. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Always remind him that you discovered him. They love to hear that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. So you hit a home run with the cast. You got this great, you got the Packers, a worldwide brand. So recognizable. You shot in beautiful Door County. Where did the actual idea come from? Was this from one of your investors or was this a story that you and your brother found? And then let's talk about your brother's involvement. That must have been fun to work with your brother.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the story really came, we wanted to shoot something because this is our first time ever doing something like this. So we wanted to do something at a scale that was, that we could do it justice. And so it wanted to be a really simple story. So for us, we grew up around, you know, obviously our grandfather was a dairy farmer, but then also the spirit of community benevolence is something that was really strong. Like our folks were always, you know, helping out different people around town or, you know, if somebody had cancer, the whole town would throw the spaghetti feed together and yeah. try to, it was culturally something that we thought was so beautiful and so necessary. You know, it felt like at this time in the world, everybody feels like they're more polarized and, you know, things can feel heavy and, you know, all the kids on social media are, it's just like, there's just all this buzz going on. And it felt like, man, if we can make something that's just like simple, true and beautiful, like how could the people not want to watch that right now, you know? Right. And it's hard to write a happy song, you know, like, and so we had like an artistic integrity we wanted to do with it. That was something else that was really critical to us is we didn't want, you know, we always, especially with that area, we just have such a fondness for it. It was like, man, I don't want it to look like Fargo or feel like these hokey dokey people. Like I want it to tell the true story of the people that are up there and how they love and take care of one another. So
what you just said is interesting because it reminds me of something I read on your website, which in the about section about you, it says his hope for his work is to temporarily draw people out of the universal ache of human suffering and inspire them with childlike goodness and beauty. Without having seen the film yet, that sounds like what you just described.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's because I think, you know, the truth of it is, I think in cinema, as we've gone more towards trying to tell, we want it to feel real. We want it to feel authentic. The nature of that has like turned darker and darker to me where they're like, you know, because it is like, I'm not going to pretend like life isn't hard and really, really tough at times. But, you know, if you forget the fact that life also is really, really beautiful and has really beautiful and amazing pockets to it. And so it felt like that was an important thing just to remind people of and what we ultimately want to keep doing with stories too.
That's great. You have to find the beauty in the ache of human suffering. Very well said. My guest is Anders Lindwall. His film Green and Gold opens January 31st. Very excited to see the film. What was it like working with your brother, Anders?
Yeah, he's the best, man. My brother, so he's 6 years younger than me. And so, but he's a cool cucumber. So he's the producer on the film, one of the producers. Alongside another guy named Aaron Boyd, who's more experienced than both of us. But Davin really was leading a lot of the boots on the ground. He was the first one to move his family up to Door County and would just drive around and meet with farmers and just start trying to like figure out where we're going to do this. And him and me have been both in the driver's chair together, just kind of, just working hand in hand. And it's really special. I mean, I think we weren't we weren't super close as kids. Like we were, he was like always my little brother.
Yeah.
But once, you know, as we got older, I think we just have very different but complementary skills. And so we work really well together. There's almost never any friction, which I'm thankful for.
So. That's so great. How is it going from commercials, which I know it probably a much more steady work. You seem very established. Was it scary going to do your first feature film, or was there more kind of an adventurous spirit? And what gets you more excited moving forward?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I mean, commercials pay so much better than movies, unless you're working at like an elite level and you're churning them out in Hollywood. You know, we're right. kind of like it's mostly a volunteer gig, to be honest with you. I guess, you know, there was a lot of inherent risk to it where, you know, at a certain point we started turning down jobs. I remember it was like 3 weeks before, 4 weeks before production, I had to take one. I got a job in Dubai of all things. Oh. And, so I told Dave and I was like, I was up in Wisconsin. I was like, dude, I got to fly and take this. And that can like tide us over for another couple months, you know, to get through production. So that's been the biggest challenge is we're like, you know, cause you're not really getting fed off of the movie budget. You're just like trying to make sure the camera is rolling.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the commercials really have like paid our bills. So I think the hardest part is like, you know, we don't get a chance to really break at this point. So like as soon as the movie was done, it was like we were back on commercial gigs and, you know, in between the edits, we were editing and then we were running to, you know, whatever brand to shoot different kinds of projects. So
that's great.
I think the beauty of the balance, if we can figure it out, is, you know, I think what's helped our product is because we are we work in commercials, we are thinking about the audiences constantly. And so I think with this film, we were always very audience minded.
Hey, Anders, can we pick up right there? We got to do a really quick thing here and then we'll do a couple more minutes. This is great. Anders Lindwall is here, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We are back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We are talking to director of Green and Gold. Got a couple more minutes here with Anders Lindwall. Anders, we really appreciate your time tonight. I know how scarce it can be because you got this movie coming up. I'm sure you're doing all kinds of press. So your time is very much appreciated. And I'm sorry to have had to cut you off. We have very hard breaks here where the computer just kind of takes over. So
no worries at all.
But please continue. You were talking about, you know, you were telling this great story.
Yeah, just about, you know, like the blend. I think because we work commercially, you know, and we've done ads for National Geographic or, you know, Nike or Levi's. Like, I think we think about audiences in a way that a lot of filmmakers don't. I think the goal is that hopefully we can make something that appeals to audiences, but also, you know, has like the real, doesn't forget the real story and deep, deep, rich, and meaningful things of life. So.
That's a great answer. So who are your influences as a filmmaker? Like when you set out to make this film, or who did you grow up watching, I guess?
Yeah, you know, I grew up watching a lot of Westerns, and I wasn't, one of the funny things about this is I'm not a real movie history geek, but I think, for a while, I was mentored by the director M. Night Shyamalan. So I spent some time in Philadelphia, and he came alongside and hired me actually to shoot some kind of like documentary work on stuff he was doing. And so I got a chance to really watch him work in a fun way. And you know, his movies are obviously very polarizing. I think there's a lot of things I would take and leave from his approach. But he was always really gracious and encouraging of me to do this. And so he had a big impact on me. And then there's another guy named Terrence Malick. Are you familiar with his work?
Sure. Yeah. Thin Red Line. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think for a lot of filmmakers my age, kind of like the younger, I'm like 40 years old, but we're considered like the younger filmmaker. 'Cause it takes so long to figure out how to do this, but You know, he's a big inspiration of talking about matters of faith and spirituality, and has like, just like how his approach with how he works with actors has always been really inspiring to me too. So he's another one that I kind of look to.
That's interesting because I find his stuff very cinematic and beautiful, and you went the actor route with him, which obviously he's great at, but I just, his stuff just picture wise is so great. He's a phenomenal film. Those are two amazing influences. Before we let you go, I ask everybody I have on the show, what are you watching? Can you recommend something that is binge-worthy or something in the theaters that you may have seen?
Oh, man. You know, we've been honestly working on this so long and so hard that I barely get a chance to watch anything myself. Like, any time I can step away from a screen, I kind of choose to do it because we're just baked to it. But the last thing I watched that was interesting was I watched Triangle of Sadness. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that's that would be worth checking out. It's definitely kind of lends itself to sort of this, has some like darker feelings about it, but it was really thought provoking for me.
Thank you so much for your time tonight, Anders, and congrats on the movie. We'll be watching. It was so great to meet you, and so great to hear about your approach and all things green and gold. This is fantastic. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Really appreciate
Anytime.
It.
Anytime. All right. Break a leg. Thank you.
Pete.
That is Anders Lindwall. That was fun. Look for Green and Gold. It opens January 31st nationwide. And we'll be pulling for him. That's a great, it's a scary time, but so exciting. And boy, he sounds like a sharp guy. That was really fun. I'd also like to thank Jody Hinman, another UP. I live in the burbs of the UP, Conrad. That's what we've established tonight. I'm out there. I'm out there in the suburbs of Burnett. We got some texts we got to get to here. Steady Eddie says, Pete, I don't go out of my way to criticize Tom Brady, and I don't blame Tom Brady for taking the money. $37.5 million a year for 10 years. Maybe he needs the money. Eddie says, I blame Fox Sports. Do they think more people are going to tune in because Tom Brady is doing commentary? Turns out he's not that good at it. There must be many other more deserving candidates for the job. I mute Brady's football broadcasts, and I'm not crazy about his partner in the booth either. What really underinflates my footballs, Pete, is that I have informed Fox Sports that I am willing to do the job for half of the $37.5 mil a year. I have not heard back from them yet, in all caps. Hang in there, Steady Eddie. He says, great name for a sports announcer. Steady Eddie, yes. Don't you think? Or maybe I should go with Steadfast Edward. I don't know. What do you think about that, K-Man?
You know.
Steady Eddie. Because football is all about betting, and that sounds like a bookie name, you know?
I would go Steady Eddie. It kind of does, yeah.
Steady Eddie's the guy who will break your legs if you don't pay.
Is it more scary as Steadfast Edward or Steady Eddie?
Steadfast Edward is a cool customer who wears a derby and a suit and never makes a bad move. Like Anders just talked about his brother. Steadfast Edward is cool as a cucumber, but Steady Eddie's more of a badass. Aunt Carla checks in. She says, Spandau Ballet is a weird band name and can't wait to see Green and Gold on January 31st. Reminds me of the movie in the 80s, Country, with Jessica Lange and Sam Shepard. Yeah, that's a great, I've never seen that film. Aunt Carla, and I love both of those actors. Sam Shepard is a guy born and raised in Minnesota. I think Sam Shepard and Jessica Lange lived in northwest Wisconsin for a while on a lake called Lake Nebagamon. My buddy Dave Hendrick is from up that way, and they have kind of a cool story. Sam Shepard no longer with us, but I'll have to see Country. That was great. Thank you for all your texts and being part of Nightlight. Thank you to Anders Lindwall and Jody Hinman. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got from Wisconsin foodie Arthur Ersink will join me. And we'll be talking about a cool new arts center that hopefully will happen in Northeast Wisconsin with Wendy DeZurich and Trig Rude. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Thanks for being with me, everybody. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. I'll take you to your best friend's house. Mama Lane, we're making out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll take you to your best friend's house. I loved you then.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.